We are the nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info, Lagos. Good morning to you. Welcome to the last 1 hour of the show. 8:07 is the time for my studios here. I'm Sherif Quadri. Today's Thursday, and every Thursday we discuss health and health-related matters. For the past four or so Thursdays, we had a conversation that we did in series, Skull Medical Fraud. We would like to say a very big thanks to all facilities that responded to the allegations leveled against them and are working, you know, on them. Those that came on the show to come and explain their side of the story, we appreciate them as well. For those who didn't say nor act, I would say that please do something about the thing allegations leveled against your facilities, okay? That's the only way we can have a better society. We'll continue with our health series every Thursday on Health Thursday with what we call stress management, which is quite important. We cannot avoid being stressed, really, but we can certainly manage it right. We cannot choose whether we would have stress in our lives. We cannot say that, I don't want to be stressed. Oh, yeah, sit down there now. Don't do anything. But what we can do is to limit or manage, find a way to handle our stress level. If you believe that you can, then please listen. If you believe that you can't, please still listen. Because we'll be answering these questions such as, is it impossible to live stress-free life in a city like Lagos? Some people are. Abi? Some people are. Can people live stress-free life in Lagos?
That's a very vital question to start with, Abi.
Then we'll also try to find answers to how we can maintain good life, good healthy lifestyle, how this can lead to longer life in a city like Lagos, because you need to juggle 9-to-5 job. Even those that are home, go and ask them how much stress they're constantly under. I'm talking about housewives or house husbands, for instance. There's a lot to even do at home to start with, especially if you now have kids. Even if you have help, you still have to monitor what they do. You still have to, hey, am I making you, something like that. You still have to shout at some point. So there's all kinds of stress level that you just have to deal with in a city like Lagos. You should know that Lagos tops the list of 5 most stressful cities in Africa to live in. That's why this conversation is very, very important. In the study conducted by VEI, a German firm, in June 2021, it was published by the CBD and wellness brand VEI, Lagos ranked the second most stressful city in the world. This was last year. Second most stress. I don't even know why I'm here. Why am I here? Like, why am I here in a stressful city? How can Lagos be ranking second most stressful city? Let me, at this point, before we start getting stressed already on the show, Dr. Oluwatimilayi Ogunkoya is here. Joins us live to talk about this. Dr. Okoya, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure to be here.
How are my guys at Total Health Trust? They're good, Abi.
Very well, very well.
Fantastic. Very well. My greetings to all of them. Let's start with stress. What is stress?
So I think we should also just plug in that very first concern that you put in terms of the possibility of living a stress-free life, as it were.
Yeah.
And so usually sometimes when I start off this conversation is to sort of get people to start talking about whether stress is inevitable, so to speak. And usually the consensus is that whilst it might seem inevitable, the fact is that it's manageable.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that we should hold on to, is that as inevitable as it might seem, it actually is manageable.
You can manage it.
And that is so important, because quite a number of people have thrown in the towel as it pertains to stress, that I'm just going to do whatever.
See, I don't care.
Exactly. I'm just going to keep going and stuff like that. But we must be very much aware of the fact that while it seems inevitable, it is manageable. But to define it in a very simple way and in a manner in which everyone can connect to, it simply put is the body's reaction to the environmental demands placed on it. And that can be whether it's a work environment, it can be financial in nature, it can be marital in nature, but basically it's how the body responds when a certain demand is placed on it.
How do you know you're stressed?
So quite interestingly, the body responds. Two primary ways that the body responds. First of all, is that the body releases a hormone called cortisol, which oftentimes is referred to as the stress hormone. Okay. And then the other side as well is that many times the body also releases adrenaline, which sort of helps to drive the individual. And that's why it's also good to establish that stress in itself is not entirely bad. Because sometimes when we talk stress, it wears a negative connotation. So people always put stress in the bad light, but it's not entirely bad, because sometimes it helps you to deliver on certain timelines, deadlines, and things that you have to do, because the body would release that adrenaline that gives you the extra push to actually deliver on certain things. One analogy I love to always use is to use a rubber band. If you want to use a rubber band, you have to stretch it in order to use it, whether you're packing hair or you're packing money, whatever the case is, you have to stretch it. But we both know that if you stretch that band beyond its limits, it would snap. So you and I also fit into that particular description, is that we stretch ourselves from time to time to deliver on certain tasks and certain responsibilities. But if we push ourselves beyond the limits, there comes the problem.
Oh, wow. So what are those symptoms that, you know, people should watch out for?
So quite interestingly, what we can also do is to sort of categorize them into three.
Fantastic.
So you could look at it, first of all, from the emotional standpoint. So it means that if an individual is under emotional distress, you would expect some level of irritability. You expect that they perhaps would be lashing out. In some individuals, you see them drawing in and things like that. But that's one of the first things to see, is that we first of all might see that emotional response to the individual being in a stressful situation.
They can get triggered so easily sometimes. Exactly. Like things that they normally would have handled.
The very little
well.
Things just sort of throw them off balance and things like that. And then you greet them good morning, and you're asking what's good about the morning.
Why are you greeting me?
Exactly. So there's that emotional angle to it, but the more important thing is to also bear in mind that there's a physical angle to it. So there is also the physical symptoms that you would see. So it's possible that the individual suffers from certain aches and pains, and there could be just repeated headache that just isn't going away. It could be muscle aches, it could be back pains and things along that line. But the more important one is this, and this is where we should begin to pay a lot of attention, is that it can also affect the individual's blood pressure. So it's quite possible that because there is that over arousal, wherein there's that drive and all of that, there can be an elevation in the individual's blood pressure just because they are not managing stress effectively. And so that's something we really should begin to also consider, because gone are the days wherein hypertension only used to happen in individuals in 50s and 60s. Now we're seeing young people coming down with
it's Lagos. It's Lagos.
So one of the factors to consider quite sincerely is the fact that stress can affect an individual's blood pressure and lead to an elevation as well.
You know what, Dr. Nkwari, let's do this. We're going to open up the phone lines and ask people how they manage stress. And perhaps ask you the questions like, okay, so this is what they do when they're stressed. And then you can, you know, offer some expert advice as to whether it's the right thing to do or not. Because I know my guys, they're in traffic right now, and they're wondering whether they are doing the right thing in managing their stress. They know that they're stressed, really. So what I do is, I'm constantly under stress. So what I do is I sleep, you know, the littlest opportunity that I have, I take a nap. Then I watch movies. I watch comedy movies. I don't know if it helps. So I'm putting my own, you know, out there, you know, for you to assess. Sleep, watching comedy, those things. And that brings us to coping mechanism that people use. What are those coping mechanisms that you would advise for people who are constantly being stressed, or people who are stressed, you know, to adopt?
All right, and that's a really good question, because at the end of the day, we all know that we're going through something. Exactly.
Yeah.
So people are going through a lot, if you like to put it that way.
Yeah.
And the question is, so what do I do if I find myself in such situations? Mm. And whilst coping mechanisms are very important, there are two things to consider just before we get to that point.
Yeah.
I always also like to simplify this conversation by saying there's an ABC to stress management.
Okay.
And that literally is that there's an A, there's a B, and then there's a C. So just before we get to the C part, which has to do with coping mechanisms, there are two things that actually precede that. The very first part is awareness. And that is so important. It means that I should know that exactly I'm being stressed.
Yeah.
But more importantly, it's not enough to say I'm stressed. we should dive a bit deeper to actually ask, what exactly is stressing me out? To what degree is that thing stressing me out? Because it's very important. I shouldn't just jump at it that, oh, okay, I'm stressed, and put a blanket over it and say, okay, I'm going to try to cope with it. I should actually ask,
know your triggers. Exactly. Know what causes this.
What are the stressors that I'm facing? Because we all face different stressors to varying degrees. And not all stressors are also external. That's also very important. I also like to say that, you know, you should also be aware of certain internal stressors. So some level of uncertainty, sometimes an information overload. So, for example, you are perhaps also experiencing like those sort of stressors.
Exactly.
So it's being aware of those stressors, knowing that they are external, they are internal stressors, and being aware as to the degree to which it's impacting you as a person. Because if you work in Ikoyi and you live in Ikorodu, the degree to which traffic would affect you would differ from someone that works in Yaba and lives in Ikoyi.
All of those things
are very important to evaluate them properly. So the degree to which it's doing that is also very important. So it's awareness first. Then the B part speaks to the balance. So now I know that these are the stressors that I'm going through. What can I do about them? So can I prioritize? Can I delegate certain things? Can I rearrange my schedule in such a way that it actually takes out this particular thing? And that brings me to a very, very key word that I think we all should go with in the course of this conversation. It's being intentional. Is that I know that the stress is plenty. But we must be intentional about how we choose to carry out our daily activities. And so things like having a plan, having a to-do list are not outdated. They are things we should still be able to deploy in terms of being able to manage stress as effectively as possible. So when we talk balance, is that, okay, so now I know the stressors. What can I do about them? What can I do to actually find my way around all of that? And then we get to the C part, which is really the question that you asked. So in terms of coping, what exactly can I do? So I usually like to preface that by saying that at the end of the day, there are some events that are outside our control.
That's right.
No matter how much you prioritize, you delegate.
Like Lagos traffic.
There's nothing you can do about it. So I think it's very, very important. So you could leave your house at 6, meet the traffic. Leave at 5, meet the traffic.
Exactly.
Leave at 4 a.m., still meet the traffic. So there's some things that you cannot do anything about. It's just there staring you in the face.
Right.
And so the question then is, so what do I do when I find myself in such situations? And that brings us to coping mechanisms. Basically, being able to develop them and deploy them as at when needed. And to just quickly plug this in, because I like the fact that you asked if it's maladaptive or it's adaptive, and that is so important. One of the deciding factors in being able to tell whether your coping mechanism is adaptive or maladaptive is whether you can deploy it in the middle of that stressor. So it means, say for example, I'm going through a stressful situation at work or at home and things like that. If I'm able to deploy that coping mechanism whilst I'm in the middle of that stressor, it is adaptive in nature. So it means if I want to perhaps take a break and then just have a quick chat with a friend, if I just want to take a walk and get some air, if I want to listen to the radio, if I want to play some music and things like that. The more important thing is I shouldn't have the mentality wherein I go through all of the hassle and struggles of the entire week and I hope to de-stress over the course of the weekend, because that's what a lot of people do, is that the stress just keeps building up. It just keeps building up.
It keeps building.
And we're not doing something decisive about it in that particular instance. So one of the things to check is, am I able to do something about it in that instance? So if it's taking a quick nap, like you said, I'm able to deploy that. Is it that I turn on some music and that helps me? Is it that I just pick up the phone and then I have a chat with a friend and things like that? But the more important thing is, while I'm in the middle of that stressor, what am I doing about it? So if traffic is my stressor now, for example, listening to Nigeria Info can be my coping mechanism. Is that whilst I'm in the middle of it, I'm actually doing something decisive about it, as opposed to the flip side, which is maladaptive, which is I just wait at the end of the day.
And you keep nagging. You see your head? See your head? You know they see me? People lash out in traffic.
Exactly. So it's being able to do something about it in that particular instance. And sadly, the flip side is what seems to be more common, is that some individuals go through stressful situations, stressful events, and then, you know what, perhaps devolving to use substances. And when I say substances, I'm not just talking drugs.
I'm actually coming there. I'm coming there because that part of the conversation, I know a lot of people can relate. Dr. Kwai, because people in the offices, I mean, when they're stressed, they can go out to go and just take one or two sticks. Some is coffee for them. Some it's energy drinks for them. You know, all of these things. People use these things to just keep going. Mm. At what point would you say that you're overdoing it?
Great.
At what point?
Great. So one of the hallmarks of maladaptive coping mechanisms is the possibility of developing dependence on that particular mechanism. So whether it's a few sticks or it's a cup of coffee, the moment you begin to develop dependence on it, it clearly is problematic. And that's what seems to happen many times with some of these mechanisms, is that whether it's certain substances or certain habits that people have created, the moment you begin to develop dependence, meaning that you cannot seem to function effectively without that substance, then we already have a problem. And that really is the red buzz that, okay, you need to begin to look at this. That the moment you need to take a few drugs before you are able to then get back to your productive state, that already spells that there is an issue here to be dealt with.
Let's hear a few words from our people who have been calling. 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. Talk to us about your stress level and how you're dealing with it or coping, you know. And if you've got questions for Dr. Nkoya, feel free to ask him any of your questions pertaining to stress. And feel free to also drop your message with us on Twitter is at Nigeria Info FM. Facebook, we're streaming live there, and YouTube as well, we're streaming live, Nigeria Info 99.3. Let's get to hear you. Good morning to you.
Hello.
Good morning. Morning to you. Yes, you're on the radio. Go on, please. Okay, let's take another one quickly. Nigeria Info, good morning to you.
Sheriff, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Let's talk.
Yeah, you know me, Sheriff, every morning, my way of managing stress, I appreciate your guest. 4 a.m.
Yeah.
I wake up. And from 4 a.m., I leave my house 5 a.m. It takes me average 1 hour from my house to the office. When I got to my office, I would bend my chair, go back 2 hours, straight up. It pains me than me driving in any traffic.
Yeah.
It pains me very well.
So you wake up early to get out so that you can beat the traffic?
Exactly. Oh, okay. It's intentional for me.
Okay. And you catch up on the sleep later.
Honestly. All right, John. Very well.
Thank you for sharing. Appreciate it. Let's jump on another call before we go. That's gone. We have another wait in Nigeria. Info, good morning to you.
Hello.
Morning to you, sir.
Yes, I'm out of Nigeria Info.
Yes, you're live on the radio.
Oh, that's great. Sheriff, it's nice talking to you. My name is Anthony Odozie.
It's a pleasure, Anthony.
Yes. Please, I have two questions for the doctor there.
Yes, please.
Okay, my first question is, first of all, if you have an incident whereby somebody hits you on a bike while driving,
yeah,
how can you cope with addressing such stress? That's number one. I know there is issue of insurance and all that, but yeah, I just really want the doctor to just share a bit of light on him.
Okay.
That's
how you can manage then your stress secondly, at that time. Okay.
What do you say?
I say you're asking how you should act at that time.
Yes, how you should act, because I've seen a lot of instances, even when the person is wrong.
Yeah.
You understand? Then there's kind of this issues around the discussion. It's kind of
definitely
crazy. You try want to ask for the person's insurance papers. You know those kind of things that go around when someone
I get it. Your second question.
Okay, now. So that's first question. The second question, quickly, sir. It's when you have, for instance, as I'm about calling you, I have this gush of feeling, like a kind of a nervous thing that I'm going to call on radio and people are going to hear me live.
Yeah.
So how do you cope, especially during presentation, not only
anxiety
regarding this, but presentations?
I think I get it. Let's go to break. We'll be back. Feels that in 2021, 4 in 10 adults worldwide said they experienced, one, a lot of worry, 42% of them, stress, 41% of them, and slightly more than 3 in 10 experienced a lot of physical pain, 31% of them. More than 1 in 4 experience sadness, 28%. And slightly fewer experience anger, 23%. in 2019, there was also a research, and it was reported by a local website that the life expectancy in Nigeria is just 54 years old. On the average, people way younger than that are dying in Nigeria. 54. Now let's extrapolate, let's extend this to other countries, right? Hong Kong life expectancy is 84 years, Macau 84 years, Japan 84 years, Switzerland 83 years, Spain 83 years, Singapore 83 years, Italy 83 years, Australia 83 years, and Iceland 83 years. Our Nigeria 54 years. With Jamilara, just seriously, 54 years. Could stress be a major part of the reasons why we don't live longer in Nigeria, Dr. Nkoya?
Absolutely, absolutely. That's absolutely spot on. It means that when we take a closer look at some of these metrics and then we sort of dive deeper into it, one of the things that we would uncover actually would be stress. And just to add to some of the stats that you actually just read, it's also been said statistically that 75 to 90% of frequent hospital visits as a result of stress.
75 to 90%.
Yes, sometimes when you say things like, oh, I've been going to the hospital, I just do not feel better. Today they are treating malaria, tomorrow they are treating something else, and it's as though it's just not going anywhere. If you look deeper, it might just be as a result of stress. Because like we said earlier, one of the things that happens when you are under a stressful situation repeatedly is that the body releases cortisol. Mm. One of the other things that happens is that the immunity is also weakened. So it means that if you repeatedly are placed in a stressful situation, your immune system won't be as optimal as it's supposed to be. And that inadvertently can then lead to the individual perhaps coming down with one illness or one infection or the other.
So, and you keep treating one, another one will come up. You'll be, what is going on with me?
Exactly.
So it's the village people.
So you're just going from one medication to the other and you're just wondering what exactly is going on here and things like that. But if you look at it closer, it might just be because you are stressed. That is, and that has impacted your immune system negatively, giving you a worse off fighting chance against some of these ailments. And so when we look at those numbers, it's quite clear that if we aren't managing stress effectively,
right,
it will affect our immune system, affect our life expectancy as well.
Let's attempt a question of the last caller who talked about reacting in traffic, whether it's got anything to do with stress. And then what's the other one that you talked about?
About the anxiety.
So
those two questions are, like I said, very practical questions.
Very practical.
The one particularly that has to do with traffic, you know, some people often say that, you know, in Lagos it's as though everyone, you know, you must act some certain way for you to cope on the streets of Lagos, particularly in traffic and things like that. But the question, interestingly, takes us back to the B part of what I said about stress management being ABC. We really shouldn't wait until things become chaotic. So it means that I'm taking a close look at, you know, all the stressors that I might experience or face. What can I do about them? So it means that as opposed to lashing out or having a confrontation or assault and things like that, one of the ready-made solutions for things like that is insurance. Is that if there is insurance to cover for some of these things, we most likely won't lose our heads.
It takes the stress off of you.
Exactly.
You're not bothered about it. You're not just worried. Okay, sorry, I'm okay, let's do this.
And then we just move as civilized as we should. So that in itself is already a solution.
That fits into
the B part of what we said. So if that is in place, we wouldn't have some of the chaotic outbursts that we have and that we see on the roads. And that's very, very important. It takes us back to that intentionality. I'm intentional, I'm deliberate about what exactly I'm doing in terms of being able to manage some of these stressors. And then the other question he asked was about the anxiety, that sometimes if you want to perhaps facilitate a conversation, do a presentation, and things like that. And I know this might sound a bit fancy, but it's very important. And one of the things that also helps in terms of managing stressful situations is breathing exercises. Is being able to breathe. And I'm going to explain why that's important. Is that sometimes when we're in a stressful situation, what's happening is that our sympathetic nervous system has kicked in, the body is releasing adrenaline, and it sort of makes it a bit uncomfortable in terms of the anxiety that we feel. One of the things that helps to alter that system back into its rest and restorative state is actually breathing in deeply. And so you're taking deep breaths, and that actually helps. So there is, for example, what is called the 4-7-8 breathing exercise. So it means you breathe in, hold that breath for 4 seconds. So you breathe in 4 seconds, hold it in for 7, and then you breathe out in 8 with your mouth. So to just further simplify that, it just means you breathe in deeply and then you exhale. And you do that quite frequently. So it's something that everyone can do. Is that if you find yourself in a situation wherein it seems as though you're a bit anxious, perhaps you want to toast someone or you want to deliver a presentation. The more important thing is when you find yourself in such situations is that you breathe in deeply. It helps in terms of calming the nerves and also dealing with the stress that comes with that particular experience.
You know, we have calls coming in, and we also have, you know, messages being dropped for us on social media. So I'm going to start with Facebook. McDonald on Facebook says, after passing out in traffic on the 24th February last year, I've stopped going to work every day. Since I'm self-employed, I only drive Monday, Wednesday and Friday. Other days, I just read, take a walk, and watch quiz shows on YouTube. I can tell you my blood pressure has drastically reduced ever since. That's somebody who, using your word, quite intentional about managing his stress level. Well, let's take a look at this one here. Jay Daniel says, I did a test last week and my blood pressure was 180 over 130. I was given some medication and took some days off work, and my BP dropped 170, 140, 140, 110 was the last time I checked. I am supposed to go to the hospital tomorrow to check again. However, I feel a lot of pain in my back, chest area most times, and some heaviness in my left lower arm. Is that as a result of high blood pressure? He said he has not used the drugs this week, though. What could that be? Could he still be stressed? I mean, his BP obviously is coming down. Or he said he's supposed to go and check again. When? He didn't state, you know. Tomorrow, yeah. Should he just go ahead and check?
Which is a very practical question. And I like the fact that sometimes individuals are willing to be vulnerable in putting this out there. And this is what I have to say, and this is very key, is that when an individual has come to that conclusion that there is actually something to deal with, we shouldn't shy away from taking the steps that are important. So you have been placed on certain medications, antihypertensives, and you've been placed on those medications for a reason.
Right.
We shouldn't take the decision into our hands and decide to stop those medications.
Using those medications.
And that's one of the reasons why this might still be happening in that case, is that the numbers could be a lot better because we aren't there yet. So for hypertension, you don't want to get to 140, 90. So he's still at that number. It should be much lower than that. And so one of the things to actually point at is that the medications must be taken properly as prescribed. But the second thing that also seems to not happen in many cases is that people start off on medications but do not implement lifestyle modifications. And that is so key to actually ensuring that individuals have the best outcome that is possible. So say, for example, you started off on the antihypertensives. You also should ensure that when you're considering your diet, you should reduce your salt intake. That is very key. You also should consider the need to exercise regularly. That's also very important. Also ensuring that you are able to also manage your stress levels effectively. So all of those things feed into the lifestyle modifications, but importantly, it's also key to ensure that you're taking the medications as prescribed. So by all means, please, if you have those medications with you, please take them today. Ensure that you're back at the hospital for the review, and then we're able to take it up from there.
Oh, fantastic, Doc. 8:42, let's head back to the telephone lines right now and take your questions. Please make it short and straight to the point. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Mr. Sheriff.
Good morning.
Please, Adeshewa.
Welcome.
Please, I want the doctor to educate teachers, especially those teachers in primary school. How do they manage stress? A teacher slumped in my school, is it not 3 weeks ago? In fact, it was the children that came out and said that our auntie has fainted. So please, how can we manage stress? Me, I'm an hypertensive person, and I have this my BP machine at home. I always check on it, and I'm always on my drug. And I go to every class with one bottle of water every day. So please, I want you to educate the teachers. Please, we're under stress.
Okay, what can the teachers do?
first of all, be intentional.
Yeah.
That's something, make that decision. It's very key.
It's very key.
Is that many times we leave things to time and chance. Is that we just allow for things to play out on their own, and when we are hopeful that things would not become catastrophic. And it's until things come crumbling that we get to that point that we review and say, okay, so what do I do at this point? And so I like the fact that she said that, oh, she's aware that, oh, I'm hypertensive, I'm taking my medications, I'm checking my numbers. And that's what everyone seems to sometimes shy away from doing. And what I always like to say is this: when you get to a situation or you find an instance wherein an individual suddenly slumps, it did not start that day.
That's right.
A lot been happening prior to then that you perhaps were not paying attention to, or you were not even mindful of. And so it means that every single person, for starters, you should even know what your numbers are. Every single person should know, okay, so I've checked my blood pressure. What exactly was my number? Or what's my blood sugar level? What's my body mass index? Those are very vital things that everyone should actually be abreast of and know exactly where you stand as a person, so that you're able to take steps to mitigate against some of these complications that can happen. Because if an individual were to have a cardiac arrest or a stroke, it is in itself a complication of an underlying ailment. And if you sometimes don't check, you wouldn't find exactly what it is. So the very first thing that everyone needs to do, teachers inclusive, is to be intentional, be deliberate, be decisive, that I'm going to take this more seriously. I'm going to try to find out exactly what my numbers are, and also begin to then evaluate what the stressors that I face are, what can I do about them, what coping mechanisms can I deploy in such instances. But it starts with intentionality.
Dr. Nkoya, you're being amazing. Let me take some messages on WhatsApp. Dr. Bimbo Kainde is listening to us. And Dr. Bimbo said, kindly compare the life expectancy in other African countries, especially sub-Saharan Africa, sub-Saharan countries. I'm going to quickly just take a random view at this. Rwanda has 67 years. Tanzania 66 years, Senegal 67 years, Sao Tome and Principe 68 years. Let's go to North Africa. Egypt is 70 years. Libya is 72 years. Mauritius is 73 years. Tunisia is 74 years. Morocco is 74 years. Algeria is 77 years. I think we can stop there. I mean, there are just 60, 60, 60, 70, 70. Chad is the list, by the way. Chad has 53 years on the average. I think that's all I can take for now. Just to answer Dr. Kennedy's question, if I have. Let's take this one here. This person says the lifespan you talked about, is it just for Lagos or the whole, it's for the whole Nigeria? Calm down. The guy wants to jar down. Oh, man, jar. Good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Yeah, my I've been trying to reach you. My name is Chibuzo. Good morning, Cordy, and good morning to the doctor in the house.
Good morning.
So quickly, I just want to just say that you know, I've noticed also, like, my car is actually on comprehensive insurance, but you discover that it's not completely true that when you just pay your insurance and that's all, you're stress free. You discover that there are some scratches you have that you don't like. Maybe just spray your car and you don't want those scratches on your car. And you just see this Kekemarawa and the bikes, them just giving it to you, bad clothes on the daily basis. And those things just get you. The insurance companies don't even want to hear that. Secondly, even when you bring like two or three cases of insurance issues because of maybe the road you follow to work, they begin to tell you that this is becoming too much. So, I don't know. In the real sense of it, it shouldn't be like that. But in Nigeria, things are a little bit different. Yeah. That's on the one hand. So, but there's another aspect to the issue I had. I noticed that some 3 months ago, I had high blood pressure.
Okay.
And I noticed that from the hospital. But I realized that I wanted to just know whether, because when I went to the hospital, after they noticed the history that it's been elevated for quite some time. So I was now advised to start taking the drugs, blood pressure drugs. And I was like, He says I'm not convinced. I should wait like for 1 week and check again.
Okay.
Then I asked. I sought a second opinion with another doctor. That one said I should change my life, work life patterns and all the rest of that.
Okay.
Maybe more exercises, resting, and all the rest. And I started doing that. And I noticed that my blood pressure came down to normal. It was around 170, 190, just like that, 150, just as in I was just playing around those figures. But now it's normal now.
Okay.
So I don't know, and I still drive. I still do all those things I do. But could it be as a function of worry or anxiety, apart from just the driving? Can you just throw more light into that?
Okay. All right. Because thanks. Sorry. I thought you're done. Dr. Nkwai, you'd like to answer that?
All right. So this is a very relatable incident. Mm-hmm. So there are people who are quite young and then walk into the hospital, find out that their blood pressure is elevated, quite concerned about starting off on the medications because of the recurring nature or narrative as to, you have to take this medication for the rest of your life and things like that. But I think the first thing to say in addressing that question is to say this. You cannot conclude that an individual is hypertensive with just one reading. So it means if I walk into the hospital today and my blood pressure is elevated, I should first of all be counseled and advised as to certain things that I need to do in terms of all of the rest and, you know, exercise and all of those things. And then a second reading is then taken. So for you to diagnose an individual of being hypertensive, you should actually take two readings on two separate days before you read that conclusion. So it's proper practice, best practices to actually go that route. So you need two readings on two separate days to actually do that. And this also feeds into what I said earlier, that when it comes to managing the blood pressure, it's not just medications alone, it's also lifestyle modifications. And sometimes we don't pay sufficient attention to those lifestyle modifications. We talk a lot about these medications, but people don't know, as they ought to, that there are things I need to do in terms of adjusting my lifestyle adequately that would actually impact my blood pressure positively.
Indeed. Let's go to social media. We got some tweets here for you. John Wachiku says, this question is for the doctor. Can stress be a factor that causes Bell's palsy? That's just a question. I tried to go and look for that. That's the first time I'm hearing that. Bell's palsy.
All right. So to just answer the question as simply as possible, the answer categorically can be a no, but let me just add this. So when an individual has Bell's palsy, so what you're saying is that the individual has an affectation of their nervous system, particularly the facial nerve, and that then affects the individual. Yeah. But to tie it directly to stress would be a bit pushing it too far in that instance.
Okay.
So it will be pushing the limits and the embers of that particular possibility. So to answer the question would be to say that no, that's not likely the case. Just as we had mentioned earlier, that what happens is we are stressed, is that there's an over-arousal that can lead to an elevation in the individual's blood pressure, which can then have certain complications that you can then tie. But it's a much longer route in terms of getting the individual to that point.
Nasir is also on Twitter. Nasir says that can too much of exercise cause stress? Well, he asked the question,
it's a valid question, actually.
Oh, is it?
Because at the end of the day, we often say things like, too much of everything is bad.
Yeah.
And that moderation is very important. And that in itself sort of underscores the response to be given to such a question, is that whatever it is that we're doing, even if it's good, can then become problematic if you push it beyond the reasonable limits in that particular sense. So whilst you're exercising, it's also important to put it within the ambit of exactly what is tolerable for the body. You don't want to exercise to the point that, you know, you can't lift your arm or your legs the following day and things like that. So it's important to put things within the proper parameters so that what should be productive does not become destructive.
On YouTube, Adeja says, how can I manage stress over situations I can't control?
All right. And this just takes us to the coping mechanisms that we talked about earlier, is that the moment we cannot actually deal decisively, it's outside the purview of that individual.
Yeah.
What can I then do? And so let me just take a moment to break this down a bit further. Yeah. So when looking at coping mechanisms, there are actually three broad categories. There is what is called the problem solving coping mechanism. And there is the emotional focused coping mechanism, and there's the appraisal focused coping mechanism. So it means that, so I'm looking at this particular issue now, I do not have control over it. What can I do about it? So say, for example, it's your internet provider that is the problem. And some of us already do some of these things. Is that so? I struggle with my internet provider, for example. What can I do about it? Can I get alternatives? So an individual has a particular service provider for the internet, and then they get another one and another one as backup and second backup, so to speak. So that's that's problem focused. Now the other thing is that okay, so I'm going through this particular stressor. How can I channel my emotions in such a way that I'm actually able to deal better? And that's some of the things that we do a lot of in this part of the world, is that we sometimes resort to humor. Sometimes I think we take it a bit too far, but it's also something that actually we do that helps us to some sort of cope with the stressor that we're actually experiencing. Is that, you know, something has happened, and you know, everyone seems to be quite worried or concerned, and before you could say Jack Robinson, you know, we have found the humor in it, we're laughing about it, and things like that. And then the third part is the appraisal focus, and that means that I'm looking at this thing, it seems to be a stressor, how can I take a second look at it? So say for example, Sheriff is my stressor, and you know, and I'm constantly viewing you in that manner. Let's say we work in the same environment, and you are my apologies, and you are my stressor. And you know, as opposed to constantly viewing it in that manner, I could take a step back and then say, oh, while Sheriff might seem to be my stressor, it might also be the one that will spur me on to do better things. That so I can take all of that as inspiration, as a drive to do better. And that's also something that sometimes we do, is that when you're told, oh, you cannot do this thing, some people recline into their shells, but some other people want to prove the person wrong in that particular instance. So that that's also an approach that we can use. So it's either it's problem focused, it's emotion focused, or it's appraisal focused, basically.
Listen, we have to go now. Dr. Oluwatimi Okoye has been quite helpful. Doc, quickly, in 10 seconds, how can people reach out to you for further questions?
All right. So I currently serve as the wellness manager of the Desire Health Trust. So you could also reach me via that mechanism through the organization, or you could also reach out to us directly. Also, secondly, you could also reach out to me on LinkedIn. That's perhaps my most active profile.
That's our show.
TV. It's time to enjoy better life with Itel TV. Go for Itel TV. Buy Itel TV and enjoy Itel TV. Wow, Itel TV, the best for home.
And I want to assume that you would run, because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running late to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired, are fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. And what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not a Chelsea.